Welcome back. My next guest is our very own Luke Jones, always bringing the heat and the knowledge from places far north, undisclosed to mankind. Luke, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you? Yes, coming to you from parts unknown, right?
Parts unknown, right? From the Isle of something. So interesting week, Luke. Interesting weekend. Ravens game, not the outcome that we wanted, but the most watched game since the Super Bowl. The whole nation was watching it. Ravens went toe-to-toe, had a horrific turn of events there with that 98-yard fumble interception, whatever you want to call it, return. And that game turned 14-point swing, Luke, hard to overcome when you have less than the explosive offense when Lamar Jackson isn't there. And what I notice is that the teams now, whether it's the Colts losing to the Vikings or the Chargers losing to the Jaguars, these 27-30-point deficits with the way that the league is, if you have enough weapons, you can come back for big deficits.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, maybe the 27 or the 30, that, you know, that's still the more extreme side. But my goodness, how many times have we, and we've talked about it throughout the offseason or throughout the season, Dennis, that, you know, a 17-point lead isn't what it used to be.
Right.
And we saw
that's
that
exactly
firsthand
right.
with the Ravens this year. You know,
because I think the game is morphing more to an arena football now with, you know, with the rules favoring the offense. And you have to take advantage of them, which is something the Ravens haven't done for a long, long time.
No question about it. No question about it. But I mean, it's, I think for the Ravens, you know, to go back to what you said with Sam Hubbard and the fumble recovery and return. And I mean, the ball goes right to him. You know, inexcusable for Tyler Huntley to fumble at the goal line. There's no question about that. You can't make an excuse for that. However, the luck of the ball just going right to Sam Hubbard and he's off to the races. That's some bad luck there. That element of it was some bad luck. But, you know, you kind of look at the Ravens, and as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com in the aftermath of the 24-17 loss, it's kind of where they've been. They're close, right? You know, they've played Kansas City hard. They've beaten Kansas City. You know, Buffalo, they played hard earlier this year. The Bengals on Sunday night, they're close, but you know, what needs to be done for them to get over the hump? And now, clearly, Lamar Jackson's health was a massive part of it the last couple of years, and we're going to have to see how that plays out. And I still will say, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Do I feel less confident about Lamar Jackson being a Raven in 2023 than I did 5 months ago or certainly a year or two ago? Of course. I mean, you know, I think even the most optimistic Ravens fan, how can you look at it after 2 years of negotiations and say that you're confident he's going to be here? Doesn't mean he won't be here, but boy, you have to just start acknowledging the reality of the situation and how much trust or lack thereof there is at this point between both sides. And I think both sides have very legit responsibility in that. But you know,
look,
let me
interrupt real quick. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time that a franchise quarterback has played out his contract? Because I didn't look it up and I don't want to look it up, but from memory, I can't recall a franchise caliber quarterback not being extended before its contract expired. I just don't recall whether it's Josh Allen or Kyler Murray or whoever you want to talk about, Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I just don't recall a quarterback reaching his final contract year, a franchise type, and not being extended prior to its completion.
I mean, really, Dak Prescott.
Okay.
And, you know,
okay.
we can debate where – I mean, Dak's clearly a franchise quarterback. We can
Fair.
Debate where he falls on that. You know,
sure.
Kirk Cousins before that with,
okay.
you know, Washington
okay.
and two franchise tags.
Right.
But you're
but
right. But it's very rare.
It's very rare, sure. Right. Extremely rare. And the other piece I want to comment on and to get your thoughts on, I saw you breaking down on Twitter and WNST and Baltimore Positive, the Ravens roster, the free agent. I think if nothing else – and I get the familiarity with divisional foes, although – 2 years ago when the Bengals put up 82 points in two games on the Ravens, that didn't help. And, you know, albeit there was a lot of injuries on the Ravens roster. But I think the Ravens did show that they have a good enough roster to be competitive, even without Lamar Jackson. So this is a good roster. Let's not make a mistake that this is a bad football team. This is a good football team, but the good to great leap is when you have that great quarterback.
Yeah, no question. And not just the great quarterback, but you've got to have a better passing game. I mean, looking at it, divisional round weekend, Dennis, I can give you just about any metric you want. I've got DVOA, which is Football Outsiders. I could give you EPA, which is another sabermetrics, you know, nerd, you know, a stat that's, you know, that football nerds like me really like: yards per attempt, passing yards per game. And just about, of those eight teams in the divisional round, the Giants are really the only one you could point to and say, all right, that's not a very high volume passing attack. But even the Giants, 10th in DVOA, passing DVOA, and they're 12th in dropback EPA. I mean, now the Ravens, they were number one in the league in passing DVOA and EPA back in 2019. Since then, they've been no better than 14th, 19th, 13th, and finishing 13th this year. That's with the first 3 weeks of the season, they went nuts, right? I mean, Lamar had 10 touchdown passes the
He
first
was
3 weeks.
great.
So your point is well taken. I mean, I would say this roster, putting aside quarterback, because we just don't know what's going to happen at this point in time. But I look at this roster, wide receiver needs a ton of work. There's no question, no sugarcoating that. And corner, other than Marlon Humphrey, they've got some work to do at corner because, assuming Marcus Peters isn't back, and I don't know that, but my gut tells me he's probably not back. You're going to have to do work there. And you're hoping some of the young guys come along to give you good depth. But those are the two positions. But other than beyond those two positions, and let's be clear, those are really important positions. But beyond that, yeah, you feel good about the offensive line, even if Ben Powers leaves as a free agent, as I expect him to. And you feel good about, certainly feel good about linebackers. You're feeling better about, they still have some work to do there, but there's a lot of potential with outside linebacker, and Bowser will be another year removed from the Achilles. Same with Ajabo. As disappointing as Adafi Owe was this season, played some of his best football the last couple of weeks. You're hoping that springboards him into a good offseason and he finally realizes that potential. But your point is well taken. I mean, they compete. I've said over and over with this current formula that the Ravens have from a philosophy standpoint, John Harbaugh and his staff, what Eric DaCosta has done, they've established a very high floor, meaning you can feel, short of the Ravens having a ton of injuries, and even the year they had a ton of injuries, they went 8-9. They're going to win a lot of football games in the regular season. But it's that matter of what you just said, going from good to great or going from high floor to higher ceiling. That's the challenge right now. And that's where they've come up short. And some of it's been some tough luck. Some of it's been some injuries. Some of it's been some questionable decisions. Some of it's been some flawed roster building. But it's added up to, despite having this transcendent talent at the quarterback position and what Lamar's been able to do when he's been on the field, it's added up. It's been adding up to one playoff win or in 5 years. I mean, that's nothing to brag about. Doesn't mean it's terrible either, but it's nothing to brag about. And it's certainly not something to rest on which you can, be sitting there resting on your laurels and saying, we're fine. They've got work to do. So
Let me ask this. In reading your article too, you talk about where they are with the cap space. So if they were to tag Lamar Jackson, right, what did that do to their cap for 2023? They can't go out and get players, right? They can't sign that wide receiver. They can't trade and sign let's say DeAndre Hopkins or whoever else is out there. I know there's a lot of guys out there, but so by tying up all that money in your quarterback now, you have to make some tough decisions, difficult decisions on your roster. And like you said, they got some massive holes on this offense and how to elevate it.
yeah, and that's where it's so tough to look at this thing and just say, well, in a vacuum, you know what I'd love to do? If I could control all the variables at this point in time, I would franchise Lamar Jackson, and I'd have a new offensive coordinator. I'd bring in another, at least one 1A kind of receiver
You
to
have
pair
to.
with Bateman. And that would be a veteran, by the way, if I could do it. Someone
Not a rookie
established.
first round draft pick because
Right.
people are
And
asking
look,
me about who are the Ravens going to take at 22. I'm saying a cornerback. They're like, no, they need a wide receiver. I'm like, no, they need a quarterback. They need to trade for a proven wide receiver because you know what? For whatever reason, the
yeah.
stars have never aligned where they got that wide receiver one.
And to be clear, I would add a wide receiver, and I would still look to draft one, not in the first round, but it would be,
Absolutely.
third or fourth round, somewhere in that neighborhood. But again, this is my in a vacuum kind of plan, right? So I would do those things and make some philosophical shifts here to emphasize the passing game a little more. And I'd want to see what it looks like because, here's the other part of this, Dennis, that is uncomfortable for a lot of people that are almost at this point unconditional Lamar Jackson fans. And I get it. His MVP 3 years ago, was amazing, historic 2019 season. But here's the truth. His numbers since then haven't been as good. And in some stretches, haven't been close to that. And we can keep talking about other elements, but if you're talking about needing to make a $250 million commitment and how some people want to the Ravens to make a fully guaranteed $230-plus million commitment, then I need to see better performance than I've seen from a passing standpoint. You know, we've seen the last 2 years. Here's been, you know, the inconvenient truth. The Ravens, the last two seasons, have come out the gate throwing the football well. My goodness, we all remember the Week 5 game he had against Indianapolis. I mean, he looked like Dan Marino 2 years ago when he had that performance. However, you look at his performance from that moment until he got hurt in, what was it, Week 13, I guess it was, 14, whatever it was, against Cleveland. His passing numbers really fell off from that point. You know, that middle of the season, he struggled. You know, he's throwing picks, not producing a whole lot in terms of through the air. Last season, you know, now last season, 2022, this season that just came to an end. First three games of the season, Lamar was looking like 2019, like Lamar. Yep. 10 touchdown passes, first 3 weeks. Go look at the numbers from week four until he gets hurt in the Denver game. Yards per attempt was right around 6. I mean, 6.0, you know, right around there. That's bad. It's
bad, but in his defense, and this will go point counterpoint, he also lost his wide receiver one, who was off to a very dynamic start. So again,
understood, but how I hear you, Dennis.
But my biggest concern with him, Luke, is the fact is, and you can't ignore it, he hasn't played a game in December for 2 years in a row. And that's not saying he's a running quarterback. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that. I'll never say that. He got hurt in the pocket, but the point is he got hurt. He'd been hurt 2 years in a row.
Right. No, I hear you. And I'll get to that part of it in a moment. Okay. But the thing I will say is, then if you're going to tell me that, and look, that's fair. And I agree. I said before Rashad Bateman got hurt that I thought they did a lousy job at wide receiver in the offseason too,
did that. You
going
did
into the
100%.
Season. However, if Lamar's numbers are going to fall off that much, why am I eager to give him a fully guaranteed contract then? You know, that's the argument for
you're not
giving him more. And to be clear, that's not me saying I want to get rid of him. That's me saying, you know, there's market. And the
which
Ravens
is why
he
needs an agent, because, you know what, that's the conversation between the agent and DaCosta.
Sure.
Because if that conversation is between Lamar Jackson and DaCosta, it gets personal.
Yeah,
and how could
no
it not?
Question.
How could
no
it
question.
Not? Eric, you're attacking me. No, it's not an attack. Like you just said, we just went point counterpoint, right? You can ping pong, but it's different when you don't have emotion in the game, where Lamar Jackson would. And I think that makes all the difference in the world in this thing moving forward.
No question. And that's where I look at it philosophically. Now, this is putting it back on the organization. If you've put so little around him at wide receiver, and let's be clear, they have tried to draft. So it's not a complete lack of effort, but the means that they've gone about trying to do it has not worked. That's, you know, there was something fitting about James Prochet being the guy who couldn't make the play at the end of the game after hearing Eric and the organization trying to champion these young wide receivers they drafted, frankly, you know, they've done very little. I mean, you know, Bateman's flashed when he's been on the field, but he hasn't been healthy. DuVernay, to me, you know, hey, he's a really good return man when he's healthy, and I think he's a good number three or number four wide receiver. But, boy, beyond that, not a whole lot to write home about. But going back to the point I was making about the fully guaranteed element of this, well, if the organization, from a philosophical standpoint, how they've handled wide receiver, boy, and now you're going to talk about Lamar making, I don't know, $47, $48 million a year, and people want to fully guarantee that. What's that going to do for that position then? You know, so that's where I do come back into the numbers dipping from a passing standpoint the last couple of years for him, even before he got hurt. Again, doesn't mean I don't want to keep him, but this is what we do. You just said point counterpoint, and it's where, you know, when you have an agent, you know, this goes back and forth. But you just said it, and this is where it's tough now, and this is where I don't know if I would do this, but I've really thought about it a lot here of late. But I look at the idea of the non-exclusive franchise tag. And this is working under the assumption that the Ravens and Lamar are in a good enough place where they do engage in some talks over the next month plus. And let's assume they're in the same spot. You know, let's say the Ravens are offering the same that they did last summer. And We don't know for sure that they'll do that because of the lack of availability, but let's just pretend that they are for the sake of argument, knowing that the cap's going up. And look, quarterbacks don't make less over time, they make more. So we know that. So, if they would offer less, then that's where you say, well, the Ravens just don't want to keep them then. I mean, it's just that obvious. But let's say they are, but let's also say Lamar Jackson is still looking for a fully guaranteed deal or a nearly fully guaranteed deal. Whatever it is, we know it's either one of those two, because he's never said flat out, I want a fully guaranteed deal. But now you're looking at this thing and you're at the same impasse where you've been the last 2 years. If you place the non-exclusive franchise tag on him, it will be a little bit cheaper, but it allows him then to go out and negotiate with other teams, whether he has an agent or not. He has that option to then do that. And another team can hypothetically sign him to an offer sheet. And the Ravens, if they would elect not to match and they would have the choice to match that in the same way we talk about restricted free agents, then they would have them. If they say, and some team does give them a fully guaranteed deal by chance, then they make the decision to say no, they get 2 first-round picks. Now, 2 first-round picks, only that for Lamar Jackson?
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah. That's
that's light. But
left tackle trade bait there. Not franchise
fair,
quarterback.
fair.
Yeah.
However, if you're looking at this through the lens of you still want to keep Lamar Jackson, do you perhaps take the risk of saying, you know what? We really don't feel anyone's going to give him a fully guaranteed deal. The Cleveland situation was odd. We know that there were, what, three other teams that were reported that were after Deshaun Watson at the time. Only one of those stepped up at the time and did it. Now you've seen how Deshaun Watson has played, and Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, the most recent big contracts to quarterbacks haven't exactly looked so hot. So you have that. And then going back to the point you made a few minutes ago that I said I'd come back to, you've now had a situation where Lamar Jackson has been unable to finish each of the last 2 seasons. Think what you want about the PCL injury and whether he could have played at the end of the year or not. He didn't. So let's take it at face value. He didn't. So all of that information there, if you're the Ravens and Lamar's continuing to insist on a fully guaranteed deal, if you really want to push this across the finish line and get him to sign, do you take the risk and say, you know what, Lamar, go out and see what you're worth? The Ravens did it with Ray Lewis in 2009, and Ray was at a much different point in his career. I get that. But they thought at that point they had the conviction to say, no one's going to value you at a higher level than we are right now. Go see.
Yeah,
So,
they did the same thing with Ed Reed, and then the Texans paid him twice what the Ravens would have. And he said,
yeah.
"Hey, Ed, you know what? Love you, but you got to go." And I get
Right,
that.
right.
But
So,
if I'm the Ravens, though, Luke, I put the exclusive tag just because of the potential return, because I know they're not supposed to tamper, but he's going to
yeah.
talk to whether it's the Panthers or the Falcons, whoever his suitors are.
Right.
And I saw a Pro Football Focus trade scenario with the Panthers where they get a first round pick, they get J.C. Horn. They get another
Sure.
one in the following year, and another one, and they get a this massive haul where they're able to get a quarterback in the draft like C.J. Stroud, somebody top 10, and to be able to rebuild that roster.
Right. I guess for my with my thinking on the non-exclusive would be that your main objective is still to re-sign him. And the thought would be he goes out, and again, him not having an agent, how easily will he be able to do this? But let's,
Yeah,
for the sake of this argument,
but the danger is though that there's some team out there that guarantees them, and then you can't match, you won't match, and you're left with 2 first-round draft picks
I hear you,
for franchise quarterback.
but
And I
I but
hear
I
you, I hear you as well. But I'm just
right.
telling you, I'd rather handcuff him for the benefit of the team and take my shots that way.
Right. I just feel like if you handcuff him, then that to me, that's what you do if you want to. If you want to trade him, then sure.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
The other
But
piece is, and we
if
don't
this
know.
is.
We don't know his appetite for wanting to be here. If he,
Sure.
and I think that, and that'll say a lot. I think to your point, I think you make an excellent point. If he wants out of here, you won't see the non-exclusive tag on him.
I mean, it really, like I said, with what I'm saying is more so using that as a mechanism to for him to go out and actually see, and in the Ravens' mind, probably get his feelings hurt, thinking that is there really going to be a team that fully guarantees a deal for him, especially when He's been hurt each of the last 2 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
but I think
I
they
might
will.
have
I
a
think.
year ago, I thought there would.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure now, Dennis, because
Yeah,
I, you
well,
know.
see, I am because you know what? You either have a quarterback or you don't, right? We know this
Right.
because for the Kyle Buller years and everybody else that we went through, when you
Yeah.
have teams that haven't had a quarterback and you get a desperate owner, and that's what
Right.
happened with the Browns. Once they realized they weren't getting him, and he said, "I'm not going to Cleveland," Jimmy Haslam said, "Yo, you are coming to Cleveland. Here's the deal." So I can see a David Tepper or somebody of that ilk to say, "Hey, the same thing," and to give him that deal.
Fair enough. Well, then I would
They have
say,
to sell. They have to sell tickets. They have to put fannies in the seats, and that's what you know.
well, the
Right now,
Ravens do too. The
right?
Ravens
I
do
go. I
too.
don't
Yeah.
disagree with you, but
Yeah.
right now, if you're not talking about Tom Brady in the NFL, you're talking about Lamar Jackson, and you
Yeah.
might be talking about Lamar Jackson more so than Tom Brady, even.
Yeah, I think there's fatigue on Tom Brady's football future at
No,
this point in
but I'm
time.
saying that the
No, I
Lamar
hear you.
Jackson story has been the biggest story in the NFL since last year, and it continues to be so because. You know, and you know, you have the players chirping in, you have everybody has an
Right.
opinion.
Well, and then here, but here's the flip side to this, Dennis. If another team does fully guarantee a contract for Lamar Jackson or assigns him to a fully guaranteed offer sheet, as would be the case here, if you're the Ravens, then do you need to say, well, this is now the cost of doing business. So do we want to keep Lamar Jackson as our quarterback? Or are we going to go into the draft and hope that Bryce Young or whoever, you know,
Whoever, yeah, you open up another
whoever you're
5-year
drafting?
window.
And then 3 or 4 years from now, because if Lamar Jackson gets a fully guaranteed deal, guess what? Then I think Joe Burrow is going to want one. Justin Herbert's going to want one. That
Oh,
if it,
oh.
it's one thing to talk about Deshaun Watson being the single outlier, but if we're now talking about it twice, and then you're talking about a couple quarterbacks who, you know, at least in the case of Joe Burrow, you can certainly make a strong argument he's better than Lamar at this point in time. Now, Herbert, you know, that could be up for debate a little more. They're different styles, but hey, two very accomplished young quarterbacks who have a bright future ahead of them. If Lamar gets a fully guaranteed deal from somebody, the Ravens can say, all right, we're not matching it. But then what happens if Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are getting
Yeah,
fully guaranteed deals
the
then?
president will have been set,
So
absolutely.
that's where. And this is the other element to what I'm talking about here. It's not even just that Lamar might get his feelings hurt and find out that no one's offering a fully guaranteed deal. If
Sure.
someone does offer a fully guaranteed deal, then the Ravens can make a final decision and say, you know what? We don't really want to do this. In the same way that we really didn't want to sign Joe Flacco to a $120.6 million contract after Super Bowl 47,
Right.
but this is what it is. The leverage is what it is. Do we want the player or not? And at that point in time, the Ravens can then make a decision. They can say yes, and then they've got it done. Lamar's under contract, and you might not like it fully guaranteed, but you have him. Or then, like I said, you know, there's the compensation part of it that is less than ideal. But I do think if you're really, truly in your heart, still really want to work something out with him long term, I kind of feel like that might be the way to go about doing it because it either gives Lamar some closure that no one's giving him a fully guaranteed deal, and then you talk turkey with the Ravens. Or they just match whatever deal he ends up signing that's less than fully guaranteed deal, of less than fully guaranteed deal, or some other team does, and then you're the Ravens and say, you know what? This isn't just a Cleveland outlier anymore. We can't keep fooling ourselves. We either really want Lamar and we want to marry him for a fully guaranteed deal, or we're going to go back to this. And guess what? The guy that we get, you know, and whether it's, you know, whoever it is, then we're going to be in that position with that guy 4 years from now. So.
All right. Let me ask
I
you
feel like
this
it,
now. Go
I
ahead.
feel like it forces action one way or the other.
It
That's
will.
that would be my argument for it.
There's also a global viewpoint here, Luke, and you mentioned it earlier, whether it's Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray or Deshaun Watson not living up to the big contract, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the owners, Steve Bisciotti's carrying the flag for the owners. To not guarantee deals, whereas Lamar Jackson, backed by the NFL Players Association, they're like, hey, if we can nail the second guaranteed contract, you're right. It opens up the door for Joe Burrow and everybody else behind him, and perhaps other positional players at some point will follow suit, right? So I do think that there's pressure on Bisciotti to hold the line, right? Which Haslam failed to do so, right? He caved in, and I do feel Steve. Feel like he's part of that network, that exclusive club, where Haslam now is perhaps an outlier because of what he did, and Lamar Jackson now he is on camp. He's been on a Deshaun Watson camp, and rightfully so. lobbying for a fully guaranteed contract. So I do think there's pressure on both parties from outside entities, from their own, representation, to not give Lamar a guaranteed contract, and for the Players Association to get that guaranteed contract for himself.
Yeah, I think that's what's made this fascinating from the moment that the Browns signed Watson to that deal. I mean, what
He
was that
broke
going
rank.
to mean?
Haslam broke rank is what he did.
No
And he got
doubt. No.
chastised publicly by Steve Bisciotti, which, again, if you're Lamar Jackson, why is your owner saying this was a bad
Yeah.
move? And what about me?
Yeah. And he's saying that, and I'm
Publicly.
better than Deshaun Watson.
He
I
is, and he
certainly
has been.
have a cleaner off-field record than him. So
Right,
yeah.
and he gets rewarded, right? He hasn't played football for 2 years. He's in the news for all the wrong reasons, and he gets rewarded a lot more than I've ever been.
I mean, it's
But
messy.
I think to
And I
this point,
mean,
Lamar's made like $33 million, right? In 5 years.
that's somewhere in that
I mean,
neighborhood, yeah.
so I mean, he hasn't made. I mean, he's made a lot of money compared to your average person out there. But in
Sure.
terms of franchise quarterbacks, he hasn't made anything. I mean, the franchise tag alone will eclipse all the money he's made combined the past 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, even if it would be the non-exclusive, you're still talking 30 something at that
Yes,
point in time,
yes. So
depending on what the
that's another way of
so
looking at it, right?
it's messy. It really is messy. And
And the other
if
thing
you're the
is he
Ravens,
gave them a discount this year too. That's another. If I'm the Ravens, they got him for half price this year. They really did at $23 million. So again, how do you look at it?
and he didn't hold out. I mean,
So yeah, it
it's
comes
tough
down. I think it comes
because
down to his. I think what his appetite to be in Baltimore long term. I think that
yeah,
trumps everything.
it's quite possible. And I mean,
If he
at
wants to
some
be
point
here,
in
they'll figure
time,
it out. But if he doesn't want to be here for whatever reason, they'll figure it out.
and that's where I keep coming back to, if you use the non-exclusive, if you use that also puts the Ravens on the line and say, do you want them or not? Some other team's willing to give him this. He wants this.
If they
Do
put a
you want him?
non-exclusive tag, they'll be 20 teams looking to get him. Never mind two.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there won't be suitors, but again, this
What I'm
comes
saying to you,
back
if
to
it's a
well,
non-exclusive tag, the list will quadruple from what it would be if you put an exclusive tag on them. Because they'll for two firsts, you can upgrade that quarterback position, and you're willing to commit money to them, and you have cap space. I don't know what team that would be, but I think that opens up the funnel, makes the suitors even more so. They'll multiply the
It
interest in
could.
him from other teams that maybe perhaps
Yeah.
wouldn't have considered him in the past.
And let's be clear. I'm not saying I would definitely do that. I understand the compensation would be on the very on the underwhelming side. There's no question about it. However, I keep looking at this. What is going to change from a negotiating standpoint? What about this season? Other than Lamar saying, "Well, I've been hurt the last couple of years. I don't think anyone's going to give me a fully guaranteed deal," which, you've made the opinion you think someone will. I'm not so sure after 2 straight years where he's been injured. I'm not saying someone won't, though. So, but
Bill
you've been
Belichick,
at
right?
this
He
for.
Bill Belichick is the GM of the Patriots, right? To give up two firsts for Lamar Jackson, I think he would do that in a heartbeat, and maybe perhaps talk Robert Kraft and giving him whatever.
I
I mean,
mean,
they
it's.
haven't replaced the legacy of Tom Brady, and that Bill wants to win a Super Bowl before he retires without Tom
Well,
Brady.
everything you're laying out there is why Lamar Jackson shouldn't give in then.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, I'm just saying, looking at this, not even looking at this as pro Lamar, pro Ravens, anti Lamar, anti Ravens, but everything you just laid out there is why Lamar Jackson shouldn't give in whatsoever then. And if you're the Ravens and you don't want to give them a fully guaranteed deal, then you're going to lose them. Because, we the for me though, I'll say this much, and look, we're going to be talking about this probably every week, at least for another month or two. I mean, if by chance they signed to a long-term deal, which I don't expect at this point in time, if ultimately this is going to end in a trade, it's going to be closer to the draft or closer to the start of free agency. And it couldn't be culminated officially until free agency starts, to be clear, because it'd be the start of the new league year. But if you're the Ravens, can you allow this situation to hold your football team hostage for another year? Because if you do tag him, and let's say it is the exclusive, and I'm not saying the Ravens shouldn't do that, but if it is, that means he can't negotiate with anyone else. What if you're Lamar Jackson, why in the world are you showing up anytime before
You're not.
August 26th?
You're not.
Because, you know, you don't.
It's ugly because there has to be. You talk about fatigue. There, Tom Brady. There has to be roster fatigue with the players on the Ravens team to hear about this story, right?
No doubt.
You want to be able to just focus on football, and this thing had been there since preseason, and you're going to
Yeah.
carry it over to a second year. Not healthy for
Yeah.
the team.
Exactly. And you know, I've seen a lot of people make, you know, try to interpret what guys are going to say the right things. Because here's at the end of the day, Dennis, Lamar's teammates like him. They
Of course
like him.
they
He's
do.
everyone in the building likes Lamar Jackson. He's a likable guy. You know, he's a good guy. You know, whatever you want to say about any other element, you know, work ethic or how he's rehabbed or anything like that. So much of that's conjecture that we just don't know. You know, the truth's probably somewhere in the middle on some of the things you hear. But everyone likes Lamar. I mean, we even saw that interaction between John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson at the end of what was it, the Atlanta game, I think that was, when
Yes.
the team website put that out. You're telling me Lamar or Harbaugh hasn't had some frustration about this situation and probably at times been a little irritated with Lamar
Of course he
from a
has.
business standpoint? Sure, but you saw what that interaction, that's how people feel about Lamar. So his teammates saying what they've said, I don't put any stock into that whatsoever in terms of that meaning anything. You know, it would be pretty rare for teammates to say, oh, I want this guy gone. I mean, how often do you see that? Even about guys who've been malcontents in the NFL, and Lamar hasn't been a malcontent. Let's be clear. So, you know, everyone can say the right things, and, you know, the state of the Ravens this week, you know, Harbaugh and DaCosta, you know, we'll hear them say positive things because they have no other choice. Because until you have this situation resolved, you have to play nice. And Lamar, to a degree, but to a lesser degree, has to play nice to a, but because the Ravens control his rights. You know, even if it is by chance that they would do what I pondered them doing, the non-exclusive, they still have his rights at the end of the day.
Sure.
Now he can negotiate, but they're still the ones to say, oh, we can match that,
They can
or no,
match.
we won't. So, you know, it comes back to everyone's got to play nice, but boy, the last thing that this team needs after the season it just had, which ended in frustration and them having lots of talent in a lot of places, but also very clear deficiencies, is this to just hold up your entire offseason. It's going to make you very limited in what you can do from a cap standpoint. It's great to talk about Greg Roman's future and whether he's going to be here or not, but you know, the notion of another offensive coordinator coming in here, who worth their salt's going to eagerly sign up for this job if they don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to be here? I mean, there are plenty, you know, say what you want about Lamar's playing style and how long it's, you know, how it's going to age and all the things we've talked about at different times. I guarantee you there are plenty, maybe not everyone. And, you know, everyone's got preferences with style and philosophy and all that. But there are plenty of offensive minds that would love to work with Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
But the current state of affairs, I'm not sure how many of them are leaving what could be a cushy gig that they currently have to join the Ravens, not knowing if Lamar's going to be there. Or they might say, oh, we're giving him the exclusive tag. Well, that's great. Does that mean he's not going to show up until September 8th? Or,
No.
hey, he might not show up until after the season starts. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. We just don't know because
And that scenario, you can
it's
either see
business.
James Irwin or a T. Martin, somebody from within, getting an
Yeah.
opportunity. That's about it.
And
You're
it
not
is,
going to
but
get
then,
anybody from the outside, as you said.
right. And but you know, if that's how it would play out, do you have a lot of optimism that things are going to be markedly better? I don't, you know, I mean, you know, so it's messy. And it's not to say that Lamar being tagged and playing the year on the tag means that the Ravens would stink. I don't think that, but certainly not thinking they're going to be a serious Super Bowl contender with those circumstances because of the limitations and how much unknown it would put on everybody, you know, from a roster building standpoint on down to bringing in an established wide receiver who then doesn't have a chance to build a rapport with Lamar all spring and summer. You know, I mean, you go down the list, it's just, it's messy.
It is.
It's messy. It really is. And I think, and I understand fans have wanted to try to make this not be a big issue. And look, 2 years ago when we were talking about this, yeah, there was plenty of time. And I get it. And I understand fans weren't going to lose sleep over the fact that they didn't get a deal done in 2021. You know, fine. I can understand fans that weren't worrying about it last year at this time, or even in the spring, because hey, there's still time. Well, now we're at a point where there's not much time, and yeah, you can say, well, they can tag them the next couple of years, but there are very significant ramifications involved with that, and very serious potential consequences involved with that on a number of levels that impact your football team. So it's where you just look at this thing and say, now, how did it get to this point? When you think about where the Ravens were 3 years ago at this point, 3 years ago, you and I were talking about the aftermath of heartbreaking playoff loss to Tennessee, and Lamar was about to be the unanimous NFL MVP. And there was, even through that disappointment, there was so much optimism. And to think 3 years later, one playoff win and Lamar Jackson's future very much up in the air. I mean, it's quite frankly, it's un-Raven-like.
It is.
I'll just
It is.
leave it at that. And I'm not saying that that makes them the complete heel and Lamar completely absolved, and Lamar's not the total heel and the Ravens are blameless in this. I think there's plenty to go around. And
Agreed.
from Lamar not having representation to really complicate this thing to the Ravens, probably if they had shown more urgency 2 years ago, and made a better offer at that point in time, not knowing, making it, easier said than done for me because I'm using 2020, hindsight here, but not knowing what was going to happen with, Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson a year later and all that, the Ravens could have made a better offer than they did 2 years ago. And if they did, maybe it would have gotten done, or maybe not. Maybe Lamar always had in his mind he was going to take a more, probably NBA player like approach, with what how we've seen him handle this. He famously said on a podcast with LeBron James a year ago that he wanted to be a billionaire, right? So,
He did.
maybe some team is may, maybe that team is going to give him 250 million guaranteed, or maybe they give him 300 million guaranteed. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be the guy that breaks that trend, but it's very clear the Ravens don't want to be the team that is the catalyst for that. So, here we are, and a couple weeks away, about a month away from the franchise tag window opening, and I'd be shocked if we see an extension between now and then. I mean, I guess stranger things have happened. Maybe there is a change of heart there that we don't know about, but it's feeling more and more for me. And this is not anything I've heard, Dennis, and I'll leave it at this because we'll have plenty of time to reconvene next week
Of
and we'll
course
be
we do.
talking about this to
Absolutely.
some point. But my personal feeling, again, this is not anything I've heard from the organization or anything I've heard from anyone related to Lamar Jackson. But if you're going to ask me what's more likely this offseason, a long-term contract extension or a trade, I'd have to say a trade. That doesn't mean that that's going to be the outcome, and maybe he will play on the tag, but it's messy, and it's certainly an unsettling position for the Ravens to be in as they're coming off of, their last four trips to the playoffs. They've been one and done three of those times. So, you want to try to break that trend. Not easy having a long-term contract conflict with their starting quarterback the way that they have, and doesn't feel like there's an easy end in sight.
Great stuff as always, Luke. Please tell our listeners where they can find you at WNST Baltimore Positive, your blog, and all the other great things that you do.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke. Check out my blog at baltimorepositive.com, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. Latest 12 Ravens thoughts, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, so kindly, my look at the Ravens class of free agents, some thoughts on those individuals, and a reminder that generally speaking, most of your free agents don't return. That's the nature of the beast. Maybe a few that you bring back, but the number eight being the big one, the person of interest at this point. You could check out my blog at baltimorepositive.com. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive text service sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. If it is some significant news on Lamar Jackson, if it is significant news on a coaching change of some sort, talking about offensive coordinator or anything unexpected, as we get closer to the start of the new league year, trade information, potential signings, potential notable contract extensions, any significant local sports news sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive text service sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. And of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Check out the Ravens season-ending press conference, player comments from locker cleanout day, all of that, check it out at baltimorepositive.com.
All right, my friend, always fun, always informative. You stay well, keep doing great things, and we'll talk about some NFL playoffs a week from today.
Sounds good, Dennis. Be well. Enjoy the games this weekend. And yeah, we'll have plenty to talk about. And I'm guessing we'll have plenty of Lamar talk next week, because what else are we going to talk
That's
about?
exactly right.
The Orioles making minimal signings and still
That's
being a
right.
few weeks away from spring training.
That's right. So stay tuned here on WNST 1570 AM. There he goes, Luke Jones. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.